Begin the current daf in Sechtig Subis, daf Lamed Hey. We begin three lines down from the top of the Amid, but the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. That is, the Gemara on the bottom of Amid Beis in the previous daf finalized the discussion that had begun with the few dafim before regarding the contradiction in Mishnah Masechtas Makis and the Mishnah in our Perek in Eilin Iris, where it said that if someone's Ba'al HaChaisai or all these other women that there's a Chi of Akaris, the Mishnah Masechtas Makis says that there's going to be Loikin, Malkis, and our Mishnah says there's going to be a Tashlumin of a Knas. Now the problem is, we know from Kedei Rosh Asa that you can't have both. You can't be Loikin Mishalim. So how do we resolve the contradiction where there it says you get Malkis and here it says you get Tashlumin? So there was Ula, there was Rabbi Yechanan, where either one of them said that either the primary one is Loikin Ve'in Mishalim or Mishalim Ve'in Loikin, and you have to say that the other Mishnah is talking about a case when it doesn't pertain to having the Tashlumin or the Malkis. And then you had Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish said, actually, the Tana of our Mishnah is going like Reb Meir, where Reb Meir says, you're like a Mishalim, and therefore it's not a contradiction, it's actually complementary, the two Mishnais. Now, the Gemara wondered, why is it that Rish Lakish doesn't learn like Reb Yechanan? In other words, we understand why Reb Yechanan didn't learn like Rish Lakish, because he wouldn't want to say the Tana of our Mishnah is like a Yachid, like a Das Yachid, of an individual of Reb Meir, where all the Chacham argue and hold that you can't have both like a Mishalim. But why is it that Rish Lakish didn't say like Rabbi Yechanan, where Rabbi Yechanan said that, yes, primary is always like Kiv Ein Mishal. And that's why the Mishnah Masechtas Makis says they get lashes. Our Mishnah that says that there is a Tashlumin of a Knas, although there is seemingly also Lichen, and therefore you don't get both, rather you only get Malkis and not the Tashlumin, is because it's talking about Kishul HaHisr, when there was no warning for him regarding the violation of the Isr, so the monetary factor is still there. But there's no lashes because there was no warning. And that's why Mishnah said that that's the case that you'll have a tashlumin of a knas. So why didn't Rish Lakish say like that? So that Rav Dimi explained, because actually this is what's called the shittasim. They argue about this elsewhere in the sense of where if someone violates something, where if he would have had a warning, he would have either been killed or he would have had lashes, there's machlekes Rav Yechon Rish Lakish, what would be the monetary payment in that case? Rabbi Yechanan says, according to Rav Dimi, as he seemingly says in our Mishnah, that there's going to be, even if you're not going to get the lashes because there was no warning, or you're not going to get the death penalty because there was no warning, you're still, in such a case, you are going to have to pay, actually, according to Rabbi Yechanan. According to Rish Lakish, even in such a case, you actually will be exempt. Because if you would have been warned, you would have had the lashes, or you would have had the death penalty. Now, although you didn't get the warning, but since it could have been, therefore you're already exempt from the tashlumin, and therefore you're not going to have to pay. And that's why Rav Dimi says you can't. Rish Lakish could not have said like Rabbi Yechanan, because yes, okay, even if you're saying it's tuma kishle hisrubay when there was no warning, who cares? Not having a warning is not relevant because Rish Lakish holds, since you could have had lashes, if there would have been a warning, therefore you're going to be exempt, and therefore you're going to be exempt even when there is no warning. And so therefore, he had to say it's like Reb Meir who holds that you're like a Umishalim. But if we'd be going like the Chacham, and Rish Lakish would hold, even Kishalah Hisrabe, you would still be exempt from the Tashlumin. Whereas Rabbi Yechanan holds that no. Whether it be a case of Malkis that you're not getting, that you could have had if you won, or death, but if you didn't ultimately get it, then you are going to be chayiv in the tashlumin, and that's the case that our Mishnah is discussing. Now that's where our current daf begins, three lines down from the top of the Amud, where Amar Rava asked the following question. Based on the way the Rav Dimi characterized this machlekes, Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish, which then again is relevant to their machlekes, how to resolve the contradiction of the two Mishnais and how to explain who's the town of our Mishnah. So Rava says, is there really such a mandama where Rav Dimi had said that was Rabbi Yechanan, who holds that when you violate something that can give you the death penalty, but it was done by mistake inadvertently, where then you don't get the death penalty? Now, so Rav Dimi had said that Rabbi Yechanan holds not only by Chiv and Malkis, but even by Chiv and Mises, if you don't end up getting that, for example, when you did a b'shagig, then you don't get the death penalty. There was no warning, obviously. You didn't know that you were violating that precept. So then he holds that you're going to be chayiv in the tashlumin, because ultimately you're only getting one punishment. That's kedei Rish Asai. So that Rabbi says, is it really true? Does Rabbi Yechanan really say it even a chayiv mises? But Vatana Bechizkiah, we learn the Braisim. And the Yeshiva of Chizkiah, it says in the Pasuk in Vayikra, it says, Umake behema yishalman. If someone kills, if someone damages an animal, then he has to pay for it. And then it says, umaki adam yumas, but if he kills a person, then he gets killed. Now, on that, the Braisa of the Yeshiva of Chizkiya had taught, it says, maki adam, and it says, umaki behema. In other words, there's two ideas mentioned in that pasuk. There's maki behema yishalmeno, and there's, when if it's maki adam, then you don't pay. Rather, you get killed. So we have an equation in the pasuk of the exemption of money when you kill a person to the liability of money when you kill an animal. Because when you kill an animal, the person doesn't get killed. He's liable for the damages that he caused. Whereas, as we see from the end of the pasuk, when you kill a person, then we know that you're not mesa mishalem. There it's not saying yishalmen, it's saying only you must, that you get killed and that you're going to be exempt. So one is saying that you're chayav in money when you kill an animal, and one is saying that you're exempt from money when you kill a person. Now, we make a comparison between the two of them. And that is ma makir behema, just like when you kill an animal. Lechilak debay, there is no divisions regarding that halacha. In other words, when someone kills an animal, he's always going to be liable, as the Gemara says in Masechet Tzibah B'Kamed, of Chavav Mabez. The pasuk says, petza tachas petza, which means to say that it's tit for tat, to say that you're going to be liable for something that was done inadvertently, like something that was done deliberately, or whether it was einus is going to be the same as rotzen. That's what the Gemara there dashes from petza tachas patza. So therefore, there's no difference bein b'shoigig, bein b'mezid, whether it was done by mistake or deliberately, bein miskaven, whether it was intended for this one, l'shein miskaven, or whether it wasn't intended for this one, bein derech yiridel, derech aliyah, whether it was going down or coming up when you had killed the animal. That is l'poitrei mimamon. In other words, there's no difference, even though there are some that, let's say, are lesser types of violations in different areas in halacha. When you did a b'shaygig, you didn't intend it, you were doing it going up. Either way, we're going to say you're not exempt from money. El-chayv imamun. Rather, you're always going to have a liability of money in all these situations when it's maki behema. So therefore, compared to the second half of the pasuk too. Af maki adam, same thing goes when you kill a person. There's not going to be any divisions, any differentiations regarding of the exemption of a monetary liability. Whether it was done by mistake or deliberately, whether it was done intention or whether it is not intentionally. In other words, even when it's ein miskaven, and this is primary what Rav is asking from the Tanna de Bechizkiya, that even when it's ein miskaven, when there's no chiv misa for the person, because he didn't intend to kill him, whether it was going down or going up. Going up is when if someone, he kills the person when he picks his hand up, or when he picks his sword and he's going from a downward to an upward motion, that's called derech aliyah. Now, the importance of, the significance of that, to say what's the difference if you're going down or going up, is because we find such a division in halacha regarding a liability of galus, of going to exile to the Ari Miklat, if one killed someone else by mistake, there is actually such a difference if it was done going down or going up, as the Gemara says in Masechet Makos, Daf Zayin Mabez, that if it was done going down, then one is liable for exile, as it says in the Pasuk, V'yipol Lav, that he falls on him, has to be the way of falling, which is downward, but actually it was going up, there actually is no galus. But either way, what we see is that there's no difference, L'chayv imamun, to say that there would be a case of when, if you kill a person that you would be liable for money, ela lepaitra imam, and rather you're always going to be exempt from monetary liability. In other words, just like regarding the liability of money for killing an animal, there's no difference. So for the exemption of when you kill a person, as the pasuk says, you're only getting misa, not monetary liability. In all situations, even when you're einam miskaven, even when you did a b'shoigig, when you're not going to be liable for the death penalty for killing that person, you're still going to be exempt from money. So therefore, Rava says, how could Rav Dimi have characterized the machlokes Rabbi Yechanan Rish Lakish, which has relevance to why Rish Lakish could not have said like Rabbi Yechanan, who's the town of Amishnah, to say that it's kishalei hisra, but when there was no warning, then you'll pay the money. And that Rish Lakish said, no, even if you're not going to be liable for it, just being in that category of chiv and malkish shogin or chiv mitzvah shogin, you can be exempt from tashlumin. But Rabbi Yechanan would hold that you're chayiv not only by meaning if you don't end up getting the death penalty, then you do have to pay the monetary penalty. But here we see clearly from the Tanna of Bechizkiya that it's not true. That when you're maki adam, when then that's something that's, it's a chiva mises, But although it's shogin when you did a b'shogu or in miskaven that you don't get a death penalty, you're still going to be exempt from the money. Not to where Rav Dimi had explained in Rabbi Yochanan. Rather, when Ravin came along, he qualified that you're right. Regarding when someone violates an isser that would give him the death penalty if he had done the b'mezid, but he actually did it by mistake. Now, everybody agrees based on this limu we just brought from the Tanna b'Chizkiya of the hekesh of makir adam to makir behema that the person will be exempt from the monetary requirements. Kipligi, when do we have the machlekes Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish? That's only by one of those two categories that we had mentioned in the previous daf. It's on b'chiva malkish shogi medava achar. That's only when one violates something that would, if he did it deliberately, would have given him a punishment of lashes, but now he did it by mistake. And dava achar, which is a reference to a monetary, when there's two things that you're violating, which is the lashes one and the money one, but again, you're not getting lashes because it's done b'shogi. That's where we have the machlikas of Yochanan Rish Lakish, and that's actually enough for what we had explained in the previous stuff. And that is, for Rish Lakish, not to say the Rabbi Yochanan, is relevant for this contradiction of the Mishnah Masechtas Makis and our Mishnah, which are discussing those of Chiyuv Malkis and that of Chiyuv Tashlumin, which is the Knas, and the Loikin on the Erva of those of Chiyuv Krisis. Now for that, that is where we have the machlekes where Rabbi Yochanan says that you would have the tashlumen. Therefore, he could say that our Mishnah is talking about kish lehisrbei when there is no warning. So you're a chiva malkis b'shagig, that then you would have the tashlumen, as he says. Whereas Rav Shakar says that no, you would still be exempt, and therefore he couldn't say that that's what our Mishnah is talking about when kish lehisrbei, and that's why he had to say that the town of a Mishnah is like a mayor who holds that you're like a mishal. Now, that the Gemara explains. So what is the understanding of this machlekes Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish that now, as we just qualified it further, is only by chiva malkes shogin v'dava achar? Rabbi Yochanan Machayev, he says that you're going to be liable in such a case. And the reason is because chiva mises iskish. The pasuk is talking about maki adam. Maki adam is talking about when someone kills someone else. That's the death penalty. Now, when one does it b'shogig or ein miskaven. So that's being compared to maki behema, which is the first half of the pasuk, to say that, okay, just like we don't differentiate regarding that you're always going to be liable by maki behema, so you're always going to be exempt from a monetary payment by maki adam, which is in the case of chiv mises shogin. So for that, they're compared. But chiv malkis loy iskish, for a liability of Malkis, that there was no comparison between Maki Adam and Maki Behema. That Maki Adam you must is talking about when you killed somebody, not for something, let's say, when you just injured somebody, which would be a punishment of lashes. And therefore there, we could say that actually there would be a difference, and that is if you're going to be B'shegig or in Meskaven, that you would not be liable for the lashes, then you would be Chavin Tashlumen. There we would be Mechalik. The pasuk that's equating Maki Adam and Maki Behema is only by Chiv Mises Bezen. He says that not only are you exempt, as clearly the Tanna Bechizki said, but even by Chiva Malkis Shogin. And the reason is because Beferish Reb Sotayra Chiva Malkis Kechiva Mises, because the Torah explicitly compares a liability for lashes to liability of death. And therefore, just like we just taught from Tanna Bechizki that by a liability for death, even when you don't get it, when it was B'Shogin, you're going to be exempt from Teshlumen. So too, for the Chiva Malkis, when it's done b'shogeg and you don't get the lashes, you're still going to be exempt from tashlumen. So the Gemara has Heichen Ripsa Torah. Where do we find the Torah including and comparing Chiva Malkis to Chiva Mises? So Amabai, he says, Asya Rasha Rasha, we learn it out. It says by Chiva Mises, Ashahu Rasha Lomus, where he's wicked to die, that's Chiva Mises. V'nem b'chiva Malkis. And it also says by the liability of lashes, it says, V'hoyim bin ha'kaisa Rasha, that it's going to be that if they're going to have to give lashes to the wicked person, so each one is called Rasha. Therefore, we make the following hekesh to say that just like over there, the Torah says, Maki Adam, compared to Maki Behema, that you're always going to be exempt from Tashlumen, so too by the Chiva Malkis, even in Zambashagi, you're going to be exempt from Tashlumen. Rav Amar, he brings a different source for this. He says, Asya Maki Maki. He says that actually, the Malkus itself is compared to Maki Behema. And you don't need, like Abaye had said, Gzeres Shava of Chiva Malkus to Chiva Mises Bezdin, and then say, just like Chiva Mises Bezdin, the Maki Odom is compared to Maki Behema. No, you go straight from Chiva Malkis to Maki Behema to say, just like over there, Lechalakta, by Maki Behema, you're always liable in the monetary punishment. Here, even by Chiva Malkis, you're always going to be exempt from that. So the Gemara asks, Amalei Rav Papa LaRava, so Rav Papa asked to Rava who offered this interpretation, he says, hey Maki, which Maki does it say by the lashes that you're comparing to the Maki of Behema to say that just like they always chayv, he always potter? Ilema, if it's the pasuk that we were quoting up until now of Umake Behemi Shalmena, that when one hits the animal, he has to pay. Umake Adam Yumas, when he hits the person, he dies. So you see the comparison between the two. But Haibik Toliksiv, that pasuk of Maki Adam is talking about when you kill and you get killed. That's the comparison. Where do you see anything about lashes? So Elahai Maki, rather it's the Maki from a few pasukim before that, where it says Umake Nefesh Behemi Shalmena, that if one hits the soul of an animal, then he has to pay for it. Nefesh tachas nefesh has to compensate for the soul of the animal that he had killed. Now, v'samachle, it says near that, v'ish kiyitin mumba misin, that if a man places a blemish in his friend, kasher asa ken yasalai, like he did to him, so gets done to him. Now, that yasalai, what does it mean that if he blemished his friend, he hurt him? So the same thing gets done back to him. He also gets hit. He also gets malchus. And therefore you see a pasuk equating malchus that a person gets to Maki Behema. And just like there, you're chayiv always, and here you'll always be potter. Now, the Gemara actually later on is going to ask, now that halacha of ish kit mumba misoy is what's commonly called chayiv b'chaver, when you inflict the wound on your friend. Now, that would clearly illustrate in the previous daf, actually by chayiv b'chaver, you always get tashlum and you don't get malchus. So how could you even say that this pasuk is talking about malchus, and therefore comparing Malkus to the pasuk before that of Maki Behema, but if it's Kiit Mumba Misa, which is Chav B'Chaver, you're actually not even getting lashes. You'll always get Tashlumen and not Malkus. But that the Gemara will later on address. For now, the Gemara assumes it's talking about like when you hit somebody, you get hit back, which is Malkus, and we're comparing Malkus to Maki Behema, so Rish Lakish says, you see that even by Malkus, Chiva Malkus Shegin, you're going to be exempt from Tashlumen. Not like Rabbi Yechina. Now, but if that's the source of Rava, of Make, but the problem is Vahai, that Malkus, which the Pasuk is saying in Kasha Asakenya Asaloi, Lav Makehi. That's not Make. In other words, it says Kitein Mum, when a person does a blemish in his friend, so then he gets hit back, he gets lashed himself. But how are you learning Xerishava of Make? It doesn't say the word Make. So I think Gemara says, no, Anan Hako Hako Kamrinan. We weren't learning a gzereshav in the literal word maki maki because it doesn't say that word itself. We were learning that when it says ishkit in mum, now a blemish happens by someone hitting his friend. So we say that just like over there with the hitting is that he gets lashes. And that's comparing to when the hitting of the animal, where there you're always going to be chayv and tashlumen, here you're always going to be exempt from tashlumen. Now the Gemara asked the question that we just alluded to before, but vaha kiksiv. That pasuk that we're quoting, that according to Rava is the source to for Rish Lakish, where Beferish Ripsa Torah that even Chiva Malkus is going to be pater from Tashlumen when it's done b'shaygig, because it talks about Malkus right next to the Maki Behema, but that's b'chayv b'chaver who dechsev. That pasuk tuma when one afflicts a wound in his friend. Now v'chayv b'chaver bar Tashlumen, who, as we learned in the previous daf, when someone afflicts a wound in his friend, explicitly we learned that there's going to be Tashlumen according to everybody and not Malkus. How can you say the pasuk is talking about Malkus and thereby saying that it's comparing to the Maki Behemet to say that it's always going to be exempt from money as Rish Lakish needs a source for that? But to the contrary, you're saying that it's Malkus and exempt from Tashlumen? Actually, it's the other way around. Chayv B'Chaver is always Tashlumen and not Malkus. So the Gemara says, you're right, generally Chayv B'Chaver is Mammon and not Malkus. But if it's not necessary to have this pasuk that we're quoting of ish kit nimumba misai for lahakosh yesh b'shavapruta, when one hits his friend that is a damage of at least the lowest denomination of a coin's value, meaning, and thereby to require the tashlum and the payment which is necessary to compensate that person for. And the reason why you don't need that pasuk for that is because a later pasuk says that already. It says, ken yi nasin bai, that just like what you have done to this person, so too it should be given by him, which as the Gemara learned in the previous daf, what's given from person to person? What's a davar hanit miyad liyad? That's money. Where we learned that, okay, so you have to give the monetary payments and not the lashes that the damager had done. Now, if it's not necessary to have that for this pasuk, because that later pasuk is teaching about the tashlumin part, so tineyu inyan, so then therefore interpret when the pasuk here says kenya asalai lahakar she'im bashav apruta. Obviously, we're talking about when this blemish that you're doing in your friend is less than a pruta's worth of damage. Therefore, if there's no penalties to monetary to pay because it's less than the smallest coin possible. So then obviously when the pasuk is telling you that you're going to get punished for what you did to him, well, it's not monetary, must be for lashes. So the pasuk is talking about lashes. And therefore we can compare it to the pasuk before of Maki Behema to say, just like over there, loy chalakta by, you're always going to be chayiv. Here by Malkis, you're always going to be pater. And that's a source for Rosh Lakish, according to Rava, of this Maki Maki, which is haka haka, to say, just like over there, you're always chayiv, you're always pater, even by chayiv Malkis Shoigin, not like Rabbi Yechanan. No, not the Gemara continues on, but Bezen asks, but Saif, ultimately, this loy chilakta, this that you're saying of the comparison of the ishkit mumba misa, okay, which, yes, it's talking about Malkis because it's less than the Shavah Pruta, so there's no tashlum. Now, and the reason why you don't need it for that is because later Pasuk says that. So you're comparing it to Maki Behema, where there you're always chayv and here you're always going to be pater. Now, the problem is because lav bar tashlumen hu, you just qualified the pasuk. You defined it by saying because there's no monetary payment. It's less than the shava pruta, the damage you did to the friend when you hit him. Now, so therefore, it had nothing to do with a hekesh, meaning that you're comparing it to Maki Behema. Oh, just Maki Behema always chayv in tashlumen. Here is going to be pasuk in tashlumen. No, the reason why you pasuk in tashlumen is because you said the pasuk is talking about that there is no tashlumen. But maybe if there were a tashlumen's worth, a shava pruta's worth of damage, then maybe then there would be a difference. Maybe it would be like Rabbi Yechanan. Maybe if you're going to get the Malkus, then you're going to be pater. But if you're not going to get the Malkus, if there is a shava pruta's worth of damage, then maybe actually then you would have to go ahead and pay for the damage. How could you learn from that pasuk to say that, yes, it's talking about lashes, and you don't pay for the payment, but the only reason why you're not paying for the payment is because there is no payment, less than the shava pruta. But maybe if it was more than that, then actually if you were not getting the lashes, then you would have to pay for that tashlumen. So the Gemara says, Leitzricham. No. Actually, there is something to learn from that hekesh of Ishkit Mumba Misoy and the pasuk before of Maki Nefesh Behema. What does that mean? I mean, just like Maki Nefesh Behema, you're always chayv in tashlumen. Here, you're always going to be pater. So he said, of course he's going to be pater, but not because of a hekesh, because it's less than the shava pruta's worth of damage. So that the Gemara says, no. You're right. The pasuk veer regarding the damage that you did to the person in his body himself, that haka was a chavala of less than a shava pruta. Because if it was more than that, we already know that from a later pasuk that says that you're going to have the tashlumen and not the malchus. So then, if it's talking about that there's not a pruta's worth of damage to the body, so where do you see that it's the hekesh to Maki Behema that will say that even if there is a monetary payment, which seemingly there isn't, because in his body he did less than the shava pruta's worth, that even so, loy chiluk, we're not going to differentiate and say always going to be exempt like Rosh Lakish wants to have it, by chivim akash shaygin. It's talking about the behadi demachia, when you inflicted a wound in him, you also kara shiroin delay, you tore his silk garments. In other words, that what we're teaching is that this lashes that you're getting because of that you wounded him. And you're right, regarding his body, obviously he's talking about that less than a shava pruta's worth of damage was done to his body. But we're saying that you'll be exempt because at that same moment when you hit him, you also have a monetary liability of tearing his clothing. Now that is what the comparison to Maki Nefesh Behema will be saying, that it doesn't make a difference if he was warned or if he wasn't warned, where if he wasn't warned before he hurt that guy, then he will not get lashes because you can't get a punishment embedded into the one's body if there was no warning. And that the Hekesh is teaching us to not to differentiate and say that you'll always be exempt from Tashlumen even in such a case. And therefore that is a valid source, according to Rava, for Rish Lakish to say that there is a comparison of a case of when you're getting Malkus, because Ishkit Mumba Misa obviously is Malkus because in his body you did less than a Shava Pruta's worth of damage. And therefore, you'll always be exempt from Tashlumen as we compare it to Maki Behema. What does that mean? It means even for his clothing, because that same time Lot makes him liable for two different things, and you're going to get the Malkus, even though you're not getting the Malkus, because Chiv and Malkus Shaygin, we're not going to differentiate, and you'll be exempt from Tashlumen. Now, the Gemara asks on what we had mentioned on Amun Aleph, Amalei Rav Chiya l'Rava, or the Tana de Beit Chizkiya. Now, according to the Braisa of Chizkiya, the Amr that he says, Maki al the Mamaki Behema, as we had learned that the Gemara had refuted what the Gemara had said in the previous daf, that Rabbi Yochanan would say that Chiv Misa Shogin would be Chayvin Tashlumin, because there's a clear Braisa from Tana Beit Chizkiya that says that we compare Maki Adam to Maki Behema, to say that if one kills another person, which is Chiv Mises, even if it was done Shaygin by mistake, where he doesn't get the death penalty, he's always going to be Potif and Teshlumin, just like Maki Behema is always going to be Chayv and Teshlumin. Now, that the Gemara asks, Mimai Dibachayel Ksiv, how does the Braisa of Bechizkiya know that Pasik is talking about during the weekday? In other words, that it was obvious to them that Maki Behema is going to be Chayiv, whether it was done b'shoigig or b'mezid, v'lekaliflugin, therefore they said that there's no point in differentiating. Maki Behema is always going to be chayiv, as they learn from Petzah Techas Patzah, whether it's b'aynis, b'ratzin, b'shoigig, b'mezid, miskav, v'im miskav, doesn't make a difference. Now, how do you know that Maki Behema is talking about during the weekday, which, yes, then there's no way of differentiating? Delma b'shabas k'siv, maybe that pasuk is actually talking about when you were Maki Behema on the Shabbos. Now, obviously, then, you would have to say that the pasuk is talking about only when if the person killed the animal on Shabbos, b'shoigig. And the reason is, because if he killed the animal deliberately on Shabbos, so that actually is chil Shabbos, doing a malach on Shabbos, the person who killed the animal would actually be chayiv misa. Now, we know that if you're chayiv misa, you're exempt from tashlumen. So, maybe, Maki Behema is talking about Shabbos. Where then in the case of Maki Behema itself, the pasuk obviously is differentiating between shogig and mezid, because as we said, the pasuk obviously would only be talking about shogig, not mezid. And therefore, the Gemara's question on the Braisa of Beit Chizkiya is that maybe actually by chiv mezid b'shogig, maybe actually that you could be chayiv and tashlumin, because although the pasuk says Maki Adam Yumas that you don't pay, maybe that's only when you did it b'mezid, because we see the first half of the pasuk, maybe if it's talking about Shabbos, could be differentiating. Maybe Maki Adam Yumas could also be differentiating when you're exempt from Tashlumin. Maybe when you did something that mandates the death penalty, it's only when you get it that you're part of Tashlumin. But when you don't get it, then maybe you'll be chayv Tashlumin. And therefore, why does that refute Ravidi from the previous daf? Maybe actually Rabbi Yechim would hold that chayv and mises shagigin would also be chayv Tashlumin. See, I think Mar says, Loisel Kedaitach. You cannot entertain that the pasuk over there of Maki Behema Yishalmen or Maki Adam Yumas is told by that it's on Shabbos, and that the Maki Behema Yishalmen is only if you did it b'shegik. And the reason is because the pasuk says, Maki Behema Yishalmen, if one kills the animal, he pays for it. Maki Adam Yumas, and if he kills a person, he gets the death penalty. Now, hey Chidomi, what would the pasuk be talking about? If the person, whatever the context is, seems to be uniform in that pasuk, if there was no hasra, the person did not get a warning before he did this act, well, then Maki Adam Mayumas. Then why, for the person who killed the person, why would he get the death penalty? We know one cannot get a death penalty unless he was warned beforehand. Elabshita Dasrabe. So obviously, the pasuk is talking about that the person was warned before he was Maki Behema or Maki Adam, which means to say that the person was doing it b'mezid. He was deliberate. He was even warned before he did it. Now, v'i b'Shabbos, now if it's like you're entertained to say that the case is talking about on Shabbos, so Maki Behema Yishalmena? So again, that you're saying it's talking about b'mezid. And if it's talking about on Shabbos, so if someone kills an animal on Shabbos, you're going to have to pay for it? You can't say that. We just pointed that out before, that if it's b'mezid on Shabbos, even by Maki Behema, you're not going to pay for it because you're not mezid mashalim. You're getting mises bezdin. So obviously the pasuk is talking about that is during the weekday, where again, as we said, for Maki Behema, there's no way of being machalik, there's lekel lefluge, and therefore we compare the same thing to Maki Adam to say that we're not going to differentiate, and even if you're not getting the actual death penalty, still the pasuk is telling you that then you're not going to pay for the monetary value, and that's why we said that according to everybody, Chiv Misa Shoygin is going to be potter from Tashlumin. Now the Gemara returns to something that was mentioned in the previous daf, which comes into relation what we were discussing previously of the Machlekes Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, which was in how to resolve the contradiction of the two Mishnayos, which again, as we had explained, is relevant to their Machlekes of Chiv and Malkis Shagin, which we were just discussing, Are you going to say like Rabbi Yochanan that Chivu Malka Shogin is Chayv Teshlumin, or like Rish Lakish who says that you're going to be Putter, and that's why Rish Lakish couldn't say that our Mishnah is Tumah Kishalei Hisrei when you didn't get the warning for the lashes because it doesn't make a difference since Abba Alachaisa could have lashes, so your Chivu Malka Shogin, you're anyways going to be exempt from Teshlumin. So obviously our Mishnah was like Ramei who holds you could be Loiku Mishal. Now the Gemara asks, Amalei Rav Papa Labaya. Papa said to Abaya, according to Rabbi that said in the previous daf, that according to a mayor, although generally you're right, you're not Mesu Mishalim, but Chiddush Husha Chidur Torah B'Knas, this was a novelty in Halacha, that the Torah said regarding Knas, because Knas itself, a penalty, all penalties are novelties in Halacha, and therefore, V'afa Gavdi Miktel Mishalim, so therefore, even though you're going to get killed for what you had done, you're still going to have to pay for the Knas. So then the question is, Masnitin Kaman Mukim Law. So who exactly would Rabbi say our Mishnah is like? In other words, to resolve the contradiction which had started this whole discussion of that on the one hand, our Mishnah says that you have a Tashlumin for Haba Alachaisa. On the other hand, Elohein Halaikin, the Masechtas Makis says that Haba Alachaisa gets lashes. Now, the contradiction was, we know that you're not Loikim Mishalim. So therefore, which one is it? Is it lashes like the Mishnah there says, or Tashlumin like our Mishnah says? As the Gemara explains, that there doesn't seem to be anyone that Rabbi could be saying like, Ikre Meir, if Rabbi would want to say that the Tana of Mishnah is like Rabbi Meir, who he says that, what's the difficulty? It's like Rish Lakish had said. It's like Rabbi Meir, who he says actually you get Loike Umishalom. So therefore they're actually not contradictory, they're actually complementary. That's talking about the lashes part, because it's Masechtas Makis, we're talking about lashes, and this is talking about the Tashlumin part, because they were talking about the Knas of Besulim. That the Gemara says you can't say that because Kasha Bitoi, the next Mishnah of the case of Bitoi, which is that the Mishnah says Habo al Bitoi, if someone violates his daughter, that then he's going to be exempt from the Knas. Well, that's difficult, and the reason being is because, as Rashi explains, according to Rish Lakish, who he said that the Tana of the Mishnah is like Rav Meir, who according to Rav Meir, there's no Kimle B'Dirab Mineh, you're going to be Chayiv in both what you're doing. Now, Rish Lakish explained that although there was seemingly a brisa that Rav Meir says that you're Mesa Mishalim, he says actually Rav Meir would not say Mesa Mishalim. And that's why the coming mission of Abal Bita, where it's Chiv Mises Bezdin, you can be exempt from the Knas. Although that it says when you're gone of a Tavach B'Shabbos, that if you stole an animal and you slaughter on Shabbos, which that same slaughtering is your Chayiv Misa for, and still Rav Meir says you're going to have to pay Dal Behei, which is Mesa Mishalim, Rish Lakish said that's Toma when it's Tevech al De'achar, when you had someone else slaughtered for you. So therefore, you're not Chayiv Misa for the slaughtering, rather that guy is. But the Mashalech is going to be liable for the payment. And therefore, it's not a contradiction. Yes, Rav Meir holds your Loiko Mishalim. That's why Habal HaChaysa, your Chayiv and Tashlumen. But the coming Mishnah Bo'al Bitoi, that's Mises Besen, you're not Mesa Mishalim. And therefore, if someone would slaughter by himself, he actually wouldn't pay. So therefore, according to Rish Lakish, it's not difficult because Rav Meir doesn't hold Mesa Mishalim even by a Knas. But according to Rabba, the case of Bitoi in the coming Mishnah is difficult because that's a case of a Knas. And yet the Mishnah said that Yepatah, now Rabba had qualified, he said that in Rav Meir's opinion, that Rav Meir does hold that you're Mason Mishalim by a Knas, which that was said in relevance to other areas of Halacha. But now the problem is that the same thing should apply for the case of Bitoi, because the Knas, the Halacha of Ma'anis, which in this case happens to be his daughter, is a Knas of paying the 50 coins. Now, Knas, Rav Meir says, you are Mason Mishalim according to Rav Meir, so how do we understand the coming Mishnah? Obviously, the Talmud Mishnah cannot be like Rav Meir, so although it will resolve the Loike Mishalim part, but the Mason Mishalim is difficult because Habal Bita should be chayv in the Knas, and the coming Mishnah says you're part of the Knas. Ikrim Nechunya ben Akana. If you want to say that the Tana of Mishnah is like Rav Nechunya ben Akana, who he also holds like Rav Meir that you're Leiko Mishalim, again, this is all along that line of thinking, where is that we have this contradiction of the two Mishnayas. One says Leiko, one says Mishalim. So how do you resolve that? So if he's going along the line of Rav Meir that you're Leiko Mishalim, so he said, fine, that will resolve that difficulty of Leiko Mishalim, that you could have both. But what do you do with Bitoi? So that thing says, so maybe he holds, if you fine tune it a little bit more, it's like Rav Meir, but it's actually Rav Nechunya ben Akana, who he also holds that you're Leiko Mishalim. And this we see from the earlier we quoted in Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, where Rabbi Nachman ben Elkanah equates Yom Kippur to Shabbos. And that is, where on Yom Kippur, if one does a malacha, so he's going to be exempt from Tashlum. Now, the reason is because the malacha of on Yom Kippur has a punishment of Karas. And that's learned from Gezeirah Shavah of Asin to Asin, where if there's going to be a fatality for the one who's doing this wrongdoing, which is what Karas is, just like Chiv Mizbez of Shabbos is, so therefore, you say, just like Shabbos, you're exempt from Tashlum, because Chiv Mizbez, and so too by Yom Kippur. But because of the negative prohibition that something has, or the lashes, for that, actually, he would say that you're not pater from Tashlumen, and therefore, our Mishnah also would hold that your loika mishalim could be like a Nuchani ben Akana, where that you pay, he holds that you would be loika mishalim, but we don't find him Nuchani ben Akana saying that you're Mesa mishalim, even by the case of Knas, and therefore, it would seemingly answer two of those questions. It would answer the question of loika mishalim, because he holds that you could be loika mishalim, and that... And whereas by the case of Bitoy, he would say that you're actually going to be put from the Knas. And the reason is because we don't find anywhere that he says the way Rabba qualifies in Reb Meir, that you may some Mishalim by a Knas. And therefore, maybe the time of a Mishal is like Reb Nechonim and Akana. And that the Gemara says, but then you have a different question, you have Kasha Achaysai. And that is because that you're right that because of the lashes, that would not exempt him. Because actually for that, Reb Nechonim and Akana says that you are like a Mishalim. It's only by that of, let's say, Misa, of Asin, that's going to be, you're not Mesa Mishalim. But the problem is that a Chayse, besides the fact that it gets lashes, actually, there's a Chiv of Karis for that. And if there's a Chiv of Karis, Rav Nachman ben Akana says that Karis is the same, a Chiv of Mrs. Bazin. So why would he differentiate between our Mishnah of a Chayse and the next Mishnah of Bitoy, where yes, Bitoy is Chiv Mrs. Bazin, but a Chayse is Chiv Karis. And he compares Yom Kippur to Shabbos, which is that he equates Karis to Chiv Mizbez Bezdin. And therefore, just on that principle itself, you should be Pater from Tashlumen. So why would that be in our Mishnah that a Chayse would be Chayv and Tashlumen? Okay, so it can't be Reb Meir and it can't be Reb Nachman ben Elkanah. Now, Ik Reb Yitzchak, if it's going like Reb Yitzchak, who he says in Masech Lesmakis and Daf Yudalem and Aleph, he says that Chiv increases when there's Torah mandates there's a punishment of Karis, where a person dies young and his children die, that when he violates such a prohibition, that actually there is no lashes for such a person who violates such an Isser. Now, obviously, Reb Yitzchak would not agree to that Mishnah Masech Tasmakis that holds Elohin Halaikin, including Habal HaChesin, all those that have Karis, because he holds that a Chiv increases do not get lashes. Now, therefore, he could be the town of a Mishnah that holds, so therefore, by Baal HaChaysa and all those Chiv increases, you get Tashlumen. Because even if you want to say that you're like Umisham or like Ve'en Misham, it doesn't make a difference, you can have Tashlumen in the case of a Chaysa of a Mishnah, and it doesn't contradict that Mishnah, Masech Tasmakis, because it actually argues on that Mishnah. Because it's Reb Yitzchak who he argues, because he holds Chiv increases, which is what a Baal HaChaysa is, do not get lashes. Now, however, even that wouldn't answer the question. Because Kashim Amzeres, because you're still going to have a difficulty from a woman born from an illegitimate union, which makes her into Mamzeres, where everybody agrees if someone has Bia with a Mamzeres, that he gets a Malkus. And still in our Mishnah, we learned that there is a Knas for a Baal Mamzeres. Now, that's difficult because how can we know that you cannot be like a Umishalim? And if it's like a Remeir that holds that you are like a Mishalim, but then according to Rabbi, you have the difficulty of the coming Mishnah, which holds that even though it's a Knas, you're going to be exempt from Tashlumen. So who is our Mishnah like? We see a case of Leika, which is Mamzeres, and yet the Mishnah still says Mamzeres, you can have Tashlum of Knas. But we know Kedei Rishas, he says you can't be like a Mishalim. So the Gemara says, so it would make sense if Rabbi would hold Kirab Yechanan, that he explained the resolution of the contradiction by saying that you're right. Although generally, when you have a choice of lashes and tashlumen, you get lashes and not tashlumen. So how does our Mishnah say you get tashlumen? It's talking about when he was not warned beforehand, therefore he can't get malchus. So therefore, you're going to have to pay tashlumen. Now that's because, as we explained on this daf, that Rabbi Yechon holds that chivim malchus sheigin and bedover achim, meaning when there's a monetary penalty and lashes, but you're not getting the lashes because you did a big mistake, then you would be chayv in tashlumen. So then who nami mitaritz law? So therefore, Rabbi would also say that our Mishnah is talking about Bishlei Hisrubai. That would make sense. Now, and that would be Rabbi Yochanan. Eli'is sabe Kresh Lakish, but if Rabbi holds like Kresh Lakish, when there's two penalties, that of money and of lashes, that Rish Lakish holds that even if you don't get a warning regarding the lashes, and you're not going to get the lashes, you're still going to be exempt from the money. And he argues on Rabbi Yochanan, you can't resolve the Mishnah like Rabbi Yochanan. Neither can you, and obviously you can't resolve on Mishnah like the other of the three interpretations of Ula, who Ula says that even if you had a warning, he says that actually the primary is always the monetary one, that you would pay the money and not get the lashes. Now that's obviously not like if Rabbi holds like Rish Lakish, is obviously not the truth, because Rish Lakish holds even when you don't get the lashes, and just you could have got the lashes, that even then you're exempt from Tishlumin. So he can't be like Rabbi Yochanan, he can't be like Ula, and he can't be like Rish Lakish, who he himself said like Remeir, because Rabbi can't be like Remeir, as we said, because he holds Remeir, holds Zebachiv, Knossos, that you would be Mase Mishalm, and Bitoi of the coming Mishnah says you're not going to get the Mishalm of the Knas. So the question is, Heichem Etaratzla, how could he resolve the contradiction of the two Mishnayos? He's not like any one of the three possibilities that we offer on the previous Tafim of Rabbi Yochanan, Ula, or Rish Lakish. So the Gemara says, so Al-Karchach, what you have to say is, and that is, if Rabbah holds like the majority of the opinions, that when there's a monetary or lashes, that you get lashes and you don't pay, then obviously Rabbi Yochanan is really, so obviously you have to say that he holds like Rabbi Yochanan, that when it was done by mistake, that then you do pay the money, and that you have to say that our Mishnah that says that by Habal Chais and all this Chiv increases, that there's going to be a Tashlum of a Knas, has to be told that there was no Hasra, there was no warning, and therefore there's no lashes. That's what's called Chiv Malka Shagin, that then you have to Tashlum, because you're right, if he would learn like Rish Lakish, then he would have no one to be able to follow in the way of how to resolve the contradiction of our Mishnah and the Mishnah of Masechtas Makos. Now, the Gemara asks, Amalei Rav Masna Labaya. So, L'Rish Lakish, the Amar Beferish Ribtza Tzaira Chiv Malkas Kechiv Mises, as we mentioned Amar Aleph, that according to Rish Lakish, that he holds that explicitly the Torah equates Chiv Malkas to Chiv Mises, and therefore, as we explained in Amar Aleph, that's the source for Rish Lakish's halacha that he argues on Rabbi Yochanan, that he says not only like Tanda Bechizki, that Bechiv Mises Shagin, you're going to be exempt from Tashlumen, but even Bechiv Malkis Shagin, you're being exempt from Tashlumen. So the question then is, Man Tana de Paul Galad Reb Nechunya Ben Akana. So who is the Tana that argues on Reb Nechunya Ben Akana? Again, as we said, Reb Nechunya Ben Akana holds of a Gezer Shava Asin, just like by Shabbos, which is Chiv Mises Bezin, in other words, the person who did the violation, there's a fatality in him that he gets killed, he's exempt from Tashlumen. So to be Amiki Purim, where there's a punishment of Karis, where there's also going to be fatality for the one who did the violation, will also be exempt from Tashlumen. Now, so the question is, who's the one that argues on him and holds that there is a Chiv Tashlumen, even by Chiv increases? For example, we find this opinion mentioned in Masechta Shavuos, Naflam Gimel Amud Aleph, where if someone lights another person's granary on Yom Kippurim, that he will be Chayv in Tashlumen. And similarly, we have our Mishnah over here that says that there is going to be a Knas, and that's why we said our Mishnah cannot be like Reb Nechunya Ben Akana, where there's going to be a Knas of Tashlumen, even when there's a Bo'al Lachaisi, which is a case of Chiv Krisis. So who's that Tana of, first of all, of our Mishnah, but primarily of the Mishnah that over there, Masechta Shavuos, that argues on him? Now, Rashi explains that although, obviously, those who argue Reb Nechunya Ben Akana do not hold of his Gezeir Shav of Asin when there's a fatality to exempt someone from Tashlumen even when there's a Chiv of Karas. However, the problem is that they should be exempt because of the negative prohibition itself, whether they were warned or whether they weren't warned. In other words, because Karas is only on something that is a negative prohibition, except for Pesach, Hamila, although the positive commandments, generally a Chiv of Karas is when there's a negative prohibition. Now, we understand that according to Rabbi Yochanan, that he could say that the one who argued Reb Nechunya Ben Akana is even like Dirabanan, who argue on Remeir, that they say that you're not Loiku Mishalim. So if you're not Loiku Mishalim, so definitely you would say that by Chiv Karis, that you don't get Karis Mishalim. But that is what Rabbi Yochanan says. It could be told by Bishul HaHisrabe, where Rabbi Yochanan said that, yes, when you did something that you're not actually getting the karas for, you're not getting the lashes for, that then you'd be chayv in tashlumen. So that's how he would be able to explain those who argue in Reb Nechunya Ben Akana, even according to Rabban who argue in Remeir, and they say that you can get both. But still you're going to be chayav in tashlumin, even though a lower one of lashes, you don't get tashlumin. By karis, you could get tashlumin when there was no warning. If there was no warning, so then you could get to tashlumin. But the Gemara's question is, according to Rish Lakish, who are you going to say is it that argues on the Menachonim and Akana? Because according to Rish Lakish, if even by chiyav malkis, when you do it b'shoigig, now malkis is definitely lower than karis. So even when you did it b'shoigig, you're not going to be liable on tashlumin, even when you're not getting the malkis. So by karis, where you can't say, like you would say, like Rabbi Yechanan, to say those who argue on Rabbi Nachman ben Akana, to say that, okay, you're right, if you get malkis, if you get misa, you shouldn't be mishalim, because even if you're like, you're not mishalim. But it's talking about when you didn't have a straw on the karis. Oh, you didn't have a straw. Okay, so then you could be chayv in tashlumin, not like Rabbi Nachman ben Akana, who holds you're always going to be part of tashlumin. But according to Shlokish, what are you going to say? Now the Gemara says, so obviously it would be Reb Meir. Either it's like Reb Meir who holds that you are like a Mishalim, therefore you could say the same, that obviously that you could be with Karis and Mishalim too, because Karis they don't hold as the same as Chiv Mrs. Bezin, because those who argue Ben Akana don't hold it the Gzer Shav of Asan Asan. So the only reason why you would have a problem would be because of the Lav itself. Oh, the Lav that you get Loike for, you could be like a Mishalim, according to Rish Lakish, who holds even by Shegin is the same as when you get it. So you'll be like Mishalim, E Rabbi Yitzchak, or you could say that the Tanu who argues in Mechon Mekone is Rabbi Yitzchak, who he said that there actually is no Malkis by Chiva Krisis. So since there's no Malkis by Chiva Krisis, and as we said before, those who argue in Mechon Mekone don't hold of his Gezer Sheva of Asen Asen, so therefore why would you be exempt from the Tashlumen? There's nothing to exempt you from Tashlumen. The Karis doesn't exempt you, because that cannot be compared to Chiv Mrs. Bezin. And the Lav itself of Leike doesn't exempt you, because you're actually not getting Malkas according to Rabbi Yitzchak. He holds that Chiv Krisis don't get Malkas. So therefore, Kadei Rish Asi would say that yes, even according to Rish Lakish, that when you have Chiv Malkas, even B'Shege, that you don't get it, you're going to be exempt from the Shlumen, but here actually there is no Chiv Malkas by Chiv Krisis, and therefore, those who argue would say that you would be Chayv and Tashlumen. Now, Rashi just points out, now, therefore, our Mishnah obviously is like Reb Meir and not like Reb Yitzchak. And the reason is because, according to Reb Yitzchak, as we pointed out previously in the Gemara, you're still going to have the difficulty of Mamzeres, where Mamzeres is a case of getting Malkus, and still there's going to be Tashlumen. But what the Gemara is pointing out of the second option of those who argue in Melchon Makana being Reb Yitzchak, it means regarding that Mishnah Masechta Shavuos, where you're going to have a case of Chiva Krisis making Tashlumen, that could be whether contra Meir or contra Yitzchak, because yes, Rabbi Yitzchak would hold that Chiv Krisis could make Tashlumen, because us and they don't learn. So therefore, Karis is not like Chiv Mrs. Bezin, and neither are you getting Chiv Malkis, so there's no problem of having Loike Mishalim, so therefore there's no Malkis, and Karis is not like Chiv Mrs. Bezin, so there's no reason to exempt a person from the Chiv of Tashlumen. Now the Gemara continues regarding going back all the way to the beginning of the Perek, to the topic that we had been discussing, regarding these types of women that, although they were chadushim, that they're not like a regular Bas Yisrael, you would think that they would be exempt from the knas, and that the Mishnah had said that although they're psulim, they're still going to be a knas if one is ma'anis, such a woman. So on that, the Gemara brings Tamar and the Braisa that arayis v'shniyis la'arayis. However, those which are arayis, or those that are secondary to the arayis, which the Gemara will shortly explain exactly what does that mean, ein lahen loy knas, they do not get the penalty if a man forcibly violates them in Bia, v'loy pitur, neither do they get if a man seduced them. Similarly, hama ma'enis, if a woman refuses the marriage she had with her husband. Now that's, for example, in the case of where a minor orphan was married off by her mother or her brothers, and she was a minor, and during her being a minor, she refused the marriage that her siblings or her mother had married her off to this man. So to such a woman, ein lo like knas like pitur, she doesn't get if a man then violates her. She doesn't get the knas or the pitur. And the reason is because she doesn't have a presumptuous state of being a basula. The reason is because she was married, although she was 7, 8, or whatever it is, and then she refused at age 9. But after age 3, the basulim don't come back. So we assume that she's not a basula. Islandess, a woman that's an islandess where she never has the puberty of Simone Nyris, and she's a woman that can never give birth. Now that's why she's called the islandess. The word isle is a ram, a male ram, where that's from, it means to say basically like a male doesn't give birth, so to an islandess doesn't. Sein la kanas la pita, she also doesn't get kanas or pita. And the reason is because kanas was only given, as we explained in our Mishnah, to a nara, to a woman between the ages of 12 and 12 and a half, which is basically defined by the two Cyrus, the age of puberty. Now, such a woman never brings Cyrus, she never fully matures physically, and therefore, actually up till age 20, she's considered like a minor, and after that, she goes straight to Bigeris, to being an adult. She never really has this intermediate stage of Nairis, and therefore, it's not appropriate to have Kanas and Peter, which is only for a Naira. Poitzas Mishum Shemra, and a woman that was removed because of a bad name. Now, the Gemara originally assumes that means to say because her husband wakes up the morning after the wedding and he says that she didn't have psulim, and obviously she was mizana with someone else. So, ain't lo knas v'lo pitui, she doesn't have either, if she's later violated or seduced, she doesn't get the 50 silver coins. Now, the Gemara later on will ask, what do you mean? She actually gets skila, because obviously she was mizana when they were during their engagement. So what would be this, that saying she doesn't get knas and pitui? Actually, she gets stoned to death. But be that as it may, those are the cases that we said that you have a rais and shnei la rais. You have, and the Gemara will explain that right now exactly why over there is there are no kanas. You have Mema'enis, where we said that there's no kanas because obviously she probably had bia during the time when she was married, even though she was a katana. So it's kanas, this ma'anis and mefata only pay to a basula. An islandess doesn't have because she was never a naira, and it's only for a nara. And the Tzos Meshim Shemra doesn't get it because obviously she was Mizana. She obviously is not a Bistula anymore. But now the Gemara asks, Maya Rice and Maya Shneisla Rice, what is this, what the Bryce is talking about? That for a woman that's an Erva or a secondary to the Erva, that she doesn't get the Knas of Einis Mefata. So Ilema Arais, if you say that Arais means, as we continue the top of Lamed Vomad Alf, Arais Mamish, literally an Erva, which are explicitly in the Torah and Pashas Achri Mois, which is a Chiv of Karas. And what shniyis, which generally shniyis secondary rice, we mean to say midiri, say from that they're rabbinic, meaning that the rabbis decreed regarding these women that rabbinically they should be considered like arayis. And the reason was because we want to distance from the biblical arayis. So that would include, for example, let's say a mother's mother, or his father's mother, or all the other secondary rice mentioned in the second parak of Masechta Yevamah, Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Alef. But the problem with that is that Kiva, and since the secondary arayis, dimidei arayis sechazle, that biblically they are fit. In other words, what the pasuk qualifies for a woman that gets the knas of oinis is of aloi sili isha, that the woman that he's violating, he has to take as a wife. Now, these women, which are only rabbinically arayis, but biblically they are fit to be his wives, so it applies for aloi sili isha, samai inlan knas. So why would it be that these secondary arayis would not get a knas? In other words, as Rashi explains, we could understand and we could explain somehow the case of arayis. We could say that it's like Shimon HaTimni, who he in our Mishnah that we had quoted, he doesn't hold of Nara and Nara Hanar, which we had mentioned on a previous daf, which would include that even Chiva Krisis get a knas. Rather, he holds that no, even the Erva of Chiva Krisis would not get a knas. So, okay, that we could understand. But the difficulty would be shnias. Secondary arayis, biblically according to everybody, is not an erva. So therefore, it definitely fits into b'lo yisi l'isha. Why wouldn't such a woman get a knas of einis mefata? So Elrav, the Gemara says, what does arayis mean? It means chiv misis besen. Arayis means to say the most severe. That's the most severe category of those who get death in the courts. When we say shnias, secondary, we don't mean generally what we use the term for, which are rabbinic. It means something secondary to chiv misis besen, which are chiv increases. Now, Aval, however, the inference of that brisa would then mean that chiv alaven yesh lehen knas, but if it's only a negative prohibition, such a woman actually who is violated would get a knas. So mani, who would that be like the brisa? It would be like Shimon HaTimni. He would be like Shimon HaTimni, who he says in the beginning of the parak, that he says it's only when it says v'lo yisi l'isha, that for him, the wife should be, has to be a woman that is appropriate to have havai, which means to say kiddushin. Then the knas would apply. Now, chiv alaven kiddushin is typhus. So therefore, if a man violates a woman that's a negative prohibition to him, then he would be liable for the knas. It's only chiv misis besen and chiv increases that then there wouldn't be a knas. Ikadami, there are those that say a different way of explaining this b'risa, that arayis, when it says the term arayis, that's chiv misis besen v'chiv increases. They're both considered arayis. When we use the term shnius, it means even chiv alavin, that they do not get a knas. Samani, who would the tana of the brisa then be? It would be Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh. He would be like Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, who he interprets, as we had taught in the previous daf, in v'loisi li'isha, means that for him it should be a wife, not that just a kedushin could be typhus, but actually that he is allowed to maintain such a woman, which would mean you cannot maintain even chiv alavin, even though kedushin is typhus, and therefore this brisa that would be excluding also chiv alavin would be going like Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, who would say that even there the woman would not get a knas because it doesn't apply for v'loisi li'isha that he can maintain such a marriage. So if a man violates such a woman, he's going to be exempt from the knas. However, obviously the real shnius of the Rabbanan, obviously there would be a knas, and that's relevant again to the discussion of our Mishnah where we had this machlekes regarding which type of arayas are those that if one violates will have a knas. That depends on how we're going to define this brisa regarding, let's say, chiv alavin, if that's going to be included in those that do have a knas because it's yisha shiyesh ba'avaya, or would it be considered in the shnius that do not get a knas, and that would be again like Reb Shimon ben Manasseh, because of leisi li'isha means to say that a woman that is fit to be married to and maintain that marriage, and that even mechiv alavin you don't have, and therefore such a woman would not fit into leisi li'isha, and therefore would not get the knas of oynes u'mefata.